front of your house, like by your front door, and there was like leaves all over the floor of the living room. And I just stood there, like my brain could not compute why there's leaves in the living room. I don't understand. There's no trees in there. I don't know. And then I looked and realized that we had the windows open. It was nice. And he had ripped a hole in the screen, and there's bushes right out there. And he had like pulled leaves off the bushes into the living room. Like, it must have looked interesting. Like, that's maybe how I'm going to get to the bushes to see what they feel like. I don't know. Just things like that, that you're like, well, I never told him not to tear a screen hole in the screen and pull the bushes. And I can't even tell. There's so many stories like that, that we're just like speechless. Like, okay, what do we do with this? Anyway, it's been really challenging 3 years, but God has been very faithful. He's used our two sons to teach us how much he loves us and how ugly we can be and how he still loves us so much. And we're still very much in the middle of that story. We hope that one day we have a beautiful ending to that. I mean, it is a beautiful ending. We have a beautiful family, but we're still struggling through that a lot, and still having to go to God every day and ask him to give us the love and the care and the patience that we need to be the parents that we feel like he's called us to be. So we're thankful for the life that he's given us, and we're really thankful for Homefront. It's been just like the Shoves class was a turning point, gave us more confidence in our parenting. Homefront has really been great for our marriage, and it's done some great things for us. So we're glad to be here.
So I love that couple that just stood before you. They are great friends, great mentors in many ways as parents, and so much appreciate them in our church and their friendship as well. Let me pray for our time after I just move a few things out of the way here. Let's bow our heads. Father, thanks for the day that you've made. Thank you for this time that we have to be together, Lord, and talk about the things of you. Father, would you guide us in our parenting? Lord, each of the children that we have, Lord, are blessings from you. You remind us, Lord, that they are a gift from you, a precious gift, Father. So would you teach us much from your word so that we can parent them effectively, so that we would bring them up in fear of you and in appreciation for the great love that you have for us, Father. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Is that rain coming down outside that I just heard? Okay, I hope not. I thought it was done. So I'm coming back from a week away at youth camp. So I'm kind of tired and sleepless. That devil child and I got to spend a good bit of time together. And she is a wonderful young lady. Just a wonderful young lady who's friends with one of my daughters. So what does it mean to be away at youth camp? Well, it means that I slept in a dorm room in a guy's dorm. So the entire floor smelled like BO. It was loud. The doors were not thick enough. The walls were not thick enough. I slept in a bunk bed that had about this much space in between. I literally could not even sit up in my bed. I had to like roll out onto the floor before I could stand up. But it was a lot of fun. I'm still waiting for some parents that, when I'm away with a bunch of kids, I stayed with the junior hires. I worked with the junior hires and helped out Aaron Osborne. And when you're away with a bunch of kids that aren't your own, you can't spank them, you can't ground them, you can't do anything. So I'm waiting for the phone calls from parents as to why their kids' pecs are sore from doing push-ups. So, I mean, if they're not going down to bed, if they didn't learn anything about the Lord, they did learn how to do a good push-up while they were away. So thankful for that. Any of you guys remember, it was years ago, it was when I was a kid, so some of you can relate to this. Do you remember that commercial about the kid who was doing drugs, and his parents came to him and were questioning him, and they kept saying, where did you learn to do this? Where did you learn to do this? Where did you learn to do this? And what was that kid's final response? I learned it by watching you. Yeah, yeah. So much of what our kids learn, we learn from watching us. And that's what we're here to talk about today. We're talking about the principle of modeling in our children's lives, what it looks like for us to be parents, and then how our actions, the things that we do, sometimes good, sometimes bad, are passed along to our children. Modeling is a key part of raising our children. Remember, we've talked about the proverb that tells us we need to train our child up in the way that he should go so that even when he is old, he will not depart from it. But sometimes that training up of a child involves things that we don't like to talk about because we don't want to talk about the things that are going on in our lives. We don't want to talk about the ugliness we have. You know, it's hard when I see Liam lose his temper and I say, Liam, Why are you losing your temper like that? Why are you flipping out? Why are you acting that way? And essentially what he says back to me is, I learned it by watching you. It's tough when we see Catherine use a tone with the little guys that's kind of short and snippy and digs into the kids. And we wonder, where did she learn that from? And she learned it by watching us sometimes, because there's a principle that's taught in Scripture that goes like this. In 1 Kings 15:3, we read, "And he walked in all the sins that his father did before him, and his heart was not wholly true to the Lord his God as the heart of David his father." This is referring to Solomon here. He walked in all the sins that his father did before him, and his heart was not wholly true the Lord his God. Because oftentimes our children will see the things that we do and they start to copy them. And that's a harsh reality to face when our kids start to copy what we see doing. You see, the classroom of parenting is just everyday life. So we're constantly teaching our children. And a principle I'd encourage you guys to remember is you're always teaching your children something. Each and every day you're teaching your children something. The question is, what are you teaching them? Because every moment, every waking moment with your children is a teaching moment. The question is, what are you teaching them? And they're paying a lot of attention to what you do, and then they're incorporating that own disposition, those habits, into their own life. Because life is often more caught than taught. We talked 2 weeks ago about this balance between discipline and instruction, and clearly there's a lot of instruction. There's a lot of things being taught to our children. So we spend a lot of time telling them, don't do this, do that, stop it, come over here, go over there. We spend a lot of time interacting with our children, but it's often more caught than taught. When what they see in us is often what they pick up more so that when we tell them. Because when we sit there and tell them, well, don't lose your temper, love your brothers and sisters, be kind, be generous, and then we aren't those things, we are hypocrites. We are hypocrites. And kids smell that out, even at a young age. Kids smell that out. When they see us not doing what we tell them to do, they see our hypocrisy. And this is hard, right? I mean, we sit here, we're like, ooh, you mean they're watching us? Yes, the little people are watching you. The little people are watching you all the time. And this principle, by the way, is even more so when they're young than when they get older. Because when they're young, they just assume what you're doing is the right thing to do. When they're older, when they turn into teenagers, right, they're a little quicker to say, you know, I'm seeing some disconnect here. However they word it in a way that won't get them in trouble, right? They're like, I'm seeing that you're telling me something, but you're not actually doing it. They can verbalize that back, and they pick it up. But when they're young, they just grab it because they think, oh, mom and dad are doing it, so that must be the right way to do it. And then they start to incorporate that into their lives. It comes in all shapes and sizes. So let's talk about a few examples. You know, there's some funny ones, and you don't even think about this. I just made a list of the first 15 or 20 that I could think of. It applies to all areas of life, but there's some funny ones that we can look at. So like when we tell our kids, well, why don't you try this food? But yet when we're out at a restaurant, we're like, oh no, I don't want to try that. if your kids see you do that, there's a disconnect there. You're like, well, just the other day you told me to try this, but yet you won't try it. And they don't understand that disconnect. When we tell them to clean up, but yet we don't clean up ourselves. When we tell them to straighten up their room, but then when we walk into, they walk into our room and they see that stuff's all over the place, they're like, whoa, hold a second. Hold on a second. I thought you said that we were going to clean up, and you read me some line about being a good steward and taking care of my stuff. But yet I walk into your room and it looks like a bomb went off. Your kids are like, what's up with that? What's going on here? Being late. So we tell our kids, be on time. We want them to be on time, but yet we are the last one to get out the door. I understand as adults, we have to lock up the house and that sort of thing. But these are just examples that I randomly thought of, okay? I'm a procrastinator. So when we procrastinate on things, we model for our children that procrastination is the way to go. But then we tell them, well, you got this assignment 3 weeks ago. Why haven't you been working on it up until this point? But yet we model for them that wait till last minute, crank it out, do it. Yeah, things like that. Being late, procrastinating. But then we get into some more serious ones. Your children will start to adopt or model the same relationship that you have with the Lord. And we're gonna spend time next week talking about one of the most important, not one of the most important attribute that you can have in terms of your relationship with the Lord. We're gonna talk about that next week. So if you want your children to model one thing out of your relationship with the Lord, that one thing is what we're gonna talk about next week. So I'll hold off on that one. But when it comes down to just reading God's word, if you have a discipline, if you love reading God's word and you spend time in God's word and you model for your children that it's important, if your children know that you're reading God's word, they quickly say, that must be the right thing to do. That must be the good thing to do. Daddy must be receiving something from God's word. Mommy must be learning something from God's word. So when you do that in front of them, they grow up seeing that reading God's word, hearing from God is important in your life, and they want to make it important in their life also. Prayer. If you spend time praying with your kids, entering into prayer, if your children see you pray, they will say to themselves, well, there must be some value to prayer. And even further, when you pray about something and then the Lord answers that prayer, sometimes in a good way, sometimes in a bad way, good and bad as determined by us, always good as determined by Him. Maybe we get what we want or we were looking for, or we don't get what we want. And then you go to your children and you say, you know, I prayed about this and this is how the Lord answered my prayer. And I liked it, or I didn't like it. Sometimes He does things because He knows what's best for me. And the conversation that you have with your children around prayer, that teaches them more than they'll ever learn over in Quest about prayer, because they see prayer in action in your own life. And they want to adopt that for their own, because you are the single greatest influence that you have on your children. The single greatest influence. If you break it down by hours, if you break it down by how much they look at you and look up to you, no matter what measurement you use, you are the single greatest influence on your children. So they want to learn, and they will learn from you. A couple more examples. If you show great devotion to your family, if you show that your wife is important to you, we talked about priorities last week. And just now I said your commitment to the Lord. If you show your children that you're devoted to your wife, if you show your children that you're devoted to your husband, that teaches your son that when he gets older, the right thing to do is to love the Lord and be devoted to his wife. That teaches your daughter to be devoted to her husband when she gets older. They recognize that and they respond to that. If you show your children by your actions that family's important, I'm going to use my vacation time to be with my family. On the weekends, I don't want to work. I'll work hard during the week to cut it off on Friday, or I'll work hard during the week to cut it off on Saturday, depending on what kind of job you have, so that I can have this day to be with children. If you show that devotion to your family, your children grow up learning that devotion to family is a good attribute. Couple more, honesty. If you're constantly telling your children to be honest. In our house, honesty is honesty, in other words, not telling lies, telling the truth. We consider that to be one of the pillars of our home. So you, as a couple, you have to determine, okay, what are the big rocks? What are things that are really important that we want to make sure that our kids get? And honesty is one of the big ones in the gets home. Because for us, honesty breaks down trust. When you don't have honesty within the home, trust begins to break down. And then when your kids say something, you don't know if you can listen to them and believe them or not. And we want them to be able to believe us and us to be able to believe them. But if they see that you're not quite honest, here's a little one, okay? Hello? Oh, no, she's not home right now. Can you call back later to the telemarketer, right? She's standing right there. The kids are like, wait a second, mom's right there. Why didn't you hand the phone? Well, it was a telemarketer. And mom, I know mom doesn't want to talk to a telemarketer. Well, you just said that she wasn't there. Isn't that telling a lie? Absolutely, that's telling a lie. But you know, you can bend it and twist it, but when you do little things like that, kids pick, that's honesty right there. Respect for authority. So if you know, again, a very real example, kind of tied in with honesty. You see the siren, the lights behind you. You're like, oh. And you throw out some derogatory term about a police officer who God has put in authority over our town, our community, to protect us. But yet we drop some slur about what we think about that police officer. He pulls up behind us. He's walking up to the car. Well, how fast do you think you were going, sir? 60? I mean, your kid's not stupid. You were going 75. He sees the dial. And you're like, I think I was going about 60. It's an outright lie right in front to the police officer who God has put in authority over you with your children watching you. If your children hear you constantly bash your boss, if everything is negative about your boss, but for some reason God has put you in authority under that boss, now you can disagree with things that he says, but God calls us to be in submission to authority, the authorities that he's put over us. We have to be careful what we do in front of our kids. In our speech, I mentioned tone of voice. Another big one is sarcasm within the home. So we tell our kids, well, don't pick on one another, don't use sarcasm to cut someone else down. But if that's our joking style within the home, even between us as mother and father, husband and wife, if that's our joking style, we're telling them to do something that we're not modeling within our home. You see, there are habits, there are preferences, there are just ways of life that we have, silly little things sometimes, and our kids pick those up. But more important than that, there's just downright sin in our life that when we model it in front of our kids, we're passing that down just like it's the case here. He walked in all the sins of his father, watching what the father does and then walking in those sins, walking in the sins of the mother and father. And we have to be very cautious what we do in front of our children. And it's not just us. There are other influences in our kids' lives, and we don't have time to get into all the manifestations of this morning. But that's why I would encourage you all to look at your own lives and then look at the environments in which you put your children. So for example, you find that every time Junior comes home from Joey's house, he talks back. Well, guess where Junior is learning that? It's not a trick question. Joey's house. You're sending to Joey's house, and first off, I would highly encourage you, whatever type of environment you submit your kids to review that environment, to be a part of it yourself first, to know what's going on there before you submit your children to it. I just think that's part of being a protective family. But why would you continue to send your child back to that environment if you know that what's being caught in that environment doesn't match up with what's taught in your home? Because all you're doing is you're putting them in an environment where they're picking up habits and they're going to bring those home. And if you have multiple children, guess what? You get the special added bonus of they bring it home and then teach it to your kids too. Be very careful where you send your kids. And I'm not going to give, Courtney and Pat brought up the example of their decision. I'm not going to say a decision for a mom to stay home. We're not going to get into that today. I'm just saying you need to assess whether or not the environments you put your children in, that's daycare, that's someone watching your kids a couple days a week, the babysitters that you bring into your home, I would encourage you to think carefully about the influences that you allow in your children's lives, because they are little sponges that are taking in everything and everything that is caught in those environments that they've been in. And you want to make sure that that syncs up with what you are teaching. Let's go before the Lord and pray. Father, thank you for the reminder this morning that we have to be cognizant and aware of what our children are observing around them, Lord, because we know that much of parenting is caught, not taught. So ideally, we want to match up what we're teaching with a way of life. And Lord, that way of life, we desire it to be one that honors and glorifies you. Father, continue to teach us much so that we can be the best parents that you desire for us to be. Lord, and we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. So we're going to do something a little bit different this morning. We've done this before, and that's why I was concerned about the rain outside. Because this is, every once in a while, I want to give you guys a chance to do a mini date, because I know not all of you are able to go out and do dates on your own during the week like we'd encourage you to. So sometimes we don't do small group time, but we actually break up. If you are visiting with us this morning, this is not our normal format, just so you know. We really want to build community within this group, so we try to keep the tables together for discussion. So this is a fluke, so excuse. Come back next week and you'll see what it normally looks like. But today, I'd encourage you to take a little mini date. Looks like the weather held off outside, so you can go somewhere on campus. This building is open. You could stay here and sit. You can go for a walk outside. You can sit on some benches. But here's your little mini date. You're going to describe a bad habit that you caught from your parents to your spouse. And then you're going to share, is there any sin in your own life that you wouldn't want your kids to learn from you? Is there something that you're doing in your own life that you would not want your children to learn from you? What are some steps that we can address to address this sin? And then finally, pray for your children. So you have a few minutes. You have a good half hour to find a good spot. Grab an extra cup of coffee on your way out the door. Grab a water. Go somewhere. And whatever time you have left over, just enjoy it with one another before you have to pick up your kids, and pray for your children or future children if you're here preparing for the future, which is awesome. So you guys can go and do that now. We'll see you next week at Homefront. Thanks very much.